charity. It's a difficult virtue for all of us to practice. That's because what it requires is an actual true love. A true love of God and a true love of neighbor. And that virtue requires that true love not just in the good times, but in those times when it's most difficult. Perhaps that's where the virtue actually comes out and shines. It's when we don't want to follow through with those actions of love. Those are times when we don't feel like we want to pray, but we force ourselves to because we want to give love and honor to God. Those times when we want to say those cruel or deriding things or make judgments about the neighbor around us or the person who has wronged us, but we don't. And we force ourselves to do an act of charity for them, even if it just be a simple prayer or dismissing the thoughts that come to our minds or keeping our tongues quiet and not saying those things that are contrary to our neighbor. Those actions are the virtuous actions, the acts of true love that come out in charity. Last weekend, I had the great fortune of finally being able to visit one person who was a shining example of this point of the epistle regarding true love. I was finally able to visit the grave of a young girl in Louisiana. Her name was Charlene Richard. I've known about her for a while, and all the years that I've gone down to Southern Louisiana, I've known about her a bit and have been meaning to go to pray at her grave for a long time, but it's always was so in and out of that area that it was always too difficult to get there. But finally, I had the extended period of time down there this past weekend, and so I went to her grave and went and spent some time praying there. And it's her story that I wanted to show to you today and explain to you and show why she is that model of charity. And it's a good example of somebody who is perhaps a saint that was right in our midst here in the United States. Charlene was born in 1947 in the rural rice field community in southern Louisiana. And by all appearances, her early years growing up, she was a very normal girl, like everybody else in her little community. She came from a large family. She was one of 10 siblings. And she would do normal child things. She would go out with the neighborhood kids and she played with them. She liked to perform plays and she enjoyed horses and music and dancing and even baseball at times. And some of the neighbors even would describe her as being a little bit impish in disposition. Not that she was a bad kid, but she sort of liked to occasionally cause a little normal bit of mischief in her life. But at the same time, she came from a devout family, as many of the Cajun families were down there. They weren't extraordinarily devout, but they themselves were very good, pious Catholics. They went very frequently to Mass and the sacraments, and they prayed their rosary every single day. It was said of Charlene, she even enjoyed playing Mass alongside of her brother, who set up a little altar in the house and would say the Mass, and she would assist at his little mock Mass playing the Mass. And she set up in her room a little shrine to the Blessed Virgin Mary, where she would say her own devotional prayers. More or less, a typical Cajun child from a typical devout Cajun family. However, Charlene would soon become extraordinary in her life and leave the typical behind, at least from the spiritual aspect, at least from the internal aspect of her life. It all started when, as an 11-year-old girl, she read the life of Saint Therese of Lisieux, and she saw in that saint there almost a mirror image of herself. She saw a small girl from France who herself was by all outward appearances normal, but who herself came from a large family, and a large family that was devout in its practices and going to Mass and saying its prayers and doing all of these things revolving around the church, but by no real means were they different than a lot of other families at that time. She even saw in Saint Therese that glimmer of impishness that she herself possessed. But Therese gave herself completely to the love of God in order to do good for souls. She offered up all of her works. She offered up all of her sufferings in order to convert souls to Christ, to gain them for the eternal kingdom of heaven. She did this in such a heroic way that that small little girl from that small French village one day became a great saint in heaven. And this inspired Charlene. She wanted to do just that. She wanted to follow in the footsteps of the little flower, and she decided that at that moment, that was going to be the person she imitated in life, Saint Therese. And sooner rather than later, she got her chance to be able to do so. In 1959, one day, she was walking outside, and she saw before her a vision of a lady, a tall lady, all dressed in black, and she couldn't see her face, and it scared her. And so she cried out, "In the name of God, what do you want?" But the lady said nothing. She just simply sailed over to the oak tree nearby and then disappeared. She related all of that to her own mother, and who kind of just filed it away in her mind and tried to comfort Charlene in what she saw. Her brother later related that she saw the same vision the very next day, and there started to be this wonder about what was going to happen. Something was going to occur in the life of Charlene. Well, a few weeks later, Charlene stayed home from school, and her mother wrote a note to the teacher that she just wasn't herself, and that she was going to take her to the doctor. Well, upon arriving at the doctor's office, she was really starting to feel quite ill, and they did a bunch of tests, and they ended up diagnosing her with acute lymphatic leukemia, and she only had a small time frame to continue living. Well, this 12-year-old girl, sick in the hospital, they now needed to break the news to her, a news that they thought would be a crushing blow to this small child. So they decided the chaplain would be the perfect one to do so. They got the hospital chaplain. It was a young priest named Father Brennan. And they asked him to go and visit Charlene in her hospital room and tell her exactly what is going to come. So this young priest, he walks in there to break the news to Charlene that she would die. And he says, "Charlene, soon a beautiful lady will come to take you home to heaven." And to his surprise, Charlene didn't bat an eye at this revelation. She wasn't scared, she wasn't nervous about it, but she had a very kind of peculiar response, a little bit impish in nature. She looked at Father Brennan and said, "I will tell her Father Brennan says hello." And from there, they got to talk a little bit, and Charlene was completely resigned to her faith. In fact, she saw it as the answer to her prayers, her ability to imitate Saint Therese of Lisieux. And she told him that she wanted to offer up all of the suffering that she was to undergo during her illness for other souls. And Father Brennan was so impressed by her piety that he came every single day to visit her in the hospital. And every day that he came, Charlene would greet him with the same greeting. She would turn to him and she would say, "Who am I supposed to suffer for today?" And he would come with a list of intentions for Charlene. And never once throughout her whole sickness did she ever complain. And never once did she at all question why she was sick, why she was going to die at the tender age of 12 years old. Rather, she made use of every instant as an opportunity to sacrifice and to pray for souls. She became a victim soul for the good of others, until finally, after 16 days in the hospital on August 11th, 1959, she died. Father Brennan was so impressed by her sanctity that he himself continued to ask for her help. He believed that she went straight to heaven because she had such a good disposition of soul. And so soon after she had died, she hadn't even left the hospital room yet, her body was still there. He came to her because he had a case that he urgently needed her help in. You see, he took care of all of the patients at this particular hospital. And so he came to her because he had just had an experience in a different room where there was a Catholic who was a lapsed Catholic who had fallen away. And when Father Brennan came to her because she was terminally ill and dying and told her that she needed to make a good confession and she needed to receive the last sacraments, the woman very hastily and very angrily turned him away. So Father Brennan came back into Charlene's room and offered a prayer to Charlene and said, "You've been sacrificing for souls through your whole illness. I need your help one more time. This woman down the hall, she refuses to make a good death. Please intercede on her behalf." And soon thereafter, he gets a call through the hospital saying that the woman had a complete turn of heart. She wanted now him to come. She wanted to make that good confession and die with the sacraments, and he did. And so now Father Brennan was completely convinced that Charlene was indeed a saint. And even though he believed that, he thought to himself, "Nobody is going to believe me when I tell them this." But amazingly, people did. Soon afterwards, people began to pray to Charlene, and their prayers would be answered. Many miraculous cases of cures from illness would happen at the cause of Charlene. Many conversions to the faith came because of her intercession. And soon her little cult following, as always happens for any saint, began to grow larger and larger, far beyond the boundaries of that little community in southern Louisiana, far beyond even the state or even the United States. It began to be an international phenomenon. People prayed and asked for her intercession, and many people received exactly what they asked for because of her. Now, interestingly, perhaps the last people to believe that she truly was a saint in heaven was her own family. Not that they were impious in any kind of way, but all of these other people were praying for her intercession and gaining that intercession on their behalf. Yet her parents and her own siblings couldn't quite understand what all the fuss was about. You see, they were very simple, hard-working people who themselves wanted to always be devout in their ways, but they saw Charlene as just a little girl, and as kind of like the Cajun way of doing things, they didn't want a big fuss made over their own child. Nobody, you know, should be fussed over too much, and they thought, well, she was just a normal girl, and they saw her faults, they saw her imperfections in life. And they thought, well, no, how can this girl who I know, you know, I had to, you know, perhaps discipline at times and would sometimes get herself into little bits of trouble like any other kid would, how can she be actually a saint? But they missed the whole point. Eventually they got it. Eventually, before they died, they too would turn to their own daughter for intercession in their needs. However, for a long period of time, it was really troubling their own minds in that way. But they eventually understood, why was she so powerful an intercessor? Why was she truly sanctified in her end? It was because of that true charity for souls. She had a true love of God to which she offered her entire self to Him. And she did so for the intercession on behalf of other poor suffering souls. She was willing to accept suffering and death so that others may not suffer so much and may convert to the faith. And because of that pure love of souls, that pure and true charity, as the epistle says today, it covered a multitude of sins. It's that way with all of us. We're no different. She was a normal young girl. She was no different than any of us. Yet the example that she gave of making the most of the opportunity that she had in her short life is something that we all can learn from. We all will have difficulties, we'll all have sufferings, we'll all have struggles, we'll all have times where we're spiritually, where we're dry. All of those things will come to us. And it's in those moments that we can choose which pathway we want to go. Do we take kind of that sentimental love in our lives and apply that to God and to our neighbors, where we love when it's easy, but we grumble when it's hard? Or do we accept those crosses and love still because of that, and persevere through that, and try to pray for and exercise the virtue of charity at every difficult opportunity that we get? That true charity, it's a giving of ourselves. It's a selflessness in life. And perhaps with today being Mother's Day, it's a perfect motherly example. That's what mothers are called to do in their lives. Be selfless. Care for others that are not themselves before themselves. And the mothers here, no doubt, try to embody that in their day-to-day lives. But it doesn't just stop with your children. It has to extend further. It extends to neighbors. It extends to those we really struggle with. And ultimately, it has to extend in that same spirit of generosity and giving. It has to extend to God above all else. The more we strive after that virtue, the more we long for it and try to embody it and practice it day by day, the closer we truly get to our heavenly reward, that obtaining heaven, passing through those gates opened by our Lord on Ascension Thursday. It's through that virtue above all else that we can get there. But as a virtue, it's truly a difficult one to practice. But never should we allow ourselves to be scared of that prospect, but rather each day work a little bit harder, be a little bit more giving of ourselves, be a little bit more selfless in our approach, not only to those around us, but most especially to our prayer life. And in that way, we too, like Charlene, like Saint Therese of Lisieux, we too can obtain that crown as a saint in heaven. May God bless you, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.